reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's found on page 384 in your pew Bibles. And we read 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, found on page 1252 in your pew Bibles. And we read Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17. "This I say and testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. We are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1142 in your pew Bibles. We read John 6, beginning at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on all of 1 Kings chapter 19. We read a little bit of it earlier. Elijah is running away. He is so depressed about his circumstances that he wants to die. And he goes to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There God meets with him. And after passing by with a great wind, but he wasn't in the wind, and with an earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake, and with fire, but he wasn't in the fire, then God appeared to Elijah in a low whisper. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, "And he, behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" This is our text. Many years ago, I think I was still in college, and had a difficult time of finding a summer job and went to one of those job-placing agencies. And they found a job for me working at a lumber fabricator. And you know that green-treated wood that you get to build decks out of and garden areas and other things outside. I was involved in the process of making that wood. You see, in order to make that wood, they have to take bundles of wood and separate them and put little slats of wood in between every single piece. And then they put it in a 40-foot-long pressure cooker, which forces that green liquid into the wood. And then when it comes out, the wood has to dry. And after it's dry, somebody's got to pull all those little wood slats out of the wood and bundle the wood back together. So I spent 2 weeks of my life putting the slats in, taking the slats out, putting the slats in, taking the slats out, putting the slats in, taking the slats out. I was bored out of my mind. There was another young man that was working with me, as well as many other people from a collection of life, generally not the hardest working people you'd ever seen. And one day, after myself and my younger partner were done, and we generally finished our work before the others did, and we were sitting on our hands feeling totally useless, we went to the yard boss and we asked him, "We're all done. Is there something else we can do?" Now, we were trying to be industrious and hardworking. The reaction we got from the yard boss was unexpected. He looked at us and said, "If there was something else for you to do, I would tell you to do it. Go back and wait." We never asked him that question again. At the time, we really didn't understand, if you will, our vocation. Vocation is a term that Luther used to use to describe our various places in life. Are you a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a student, a laborer, a manager? You know, we all have different places, and actually God puts us in different places sometimes simultaneously. But what's important in life is to understand your place and to live within it. And it's often when we step out of our place and start to worry about things, if you will, that God has not given us the responsibility to worry about, that we start getting ourselves into trouble. For instance, if you're a parent and you told your child to be home at 10 o'clock and it's now 11:30 and your child is still not home, God has given you as a parent the task of being concerned about that and of tracking that child down and making sure they don't ever do that again, even if you suspect they probably will. But God has not given to you the job of checking on your neighbor's child when the neighbors are home and mumbling yourself, "You know, boy, they let that child out. Those people," and then talking to your other neighbor and saying, "You know, those neighbors across the street, you know, they're not raising that child right." God hasn't given you responsibility over the neighbor's child. And you can imagine if you start trying to involve yourself too much into somebody else's responsibility, that's when you start to get yourself into trouble. We all have our vocations, our places. places in life. And God has reserved to himself alone certain vocations, if you will. God alone knows what the future is. God alone knows or has the ability to look into the hearts of men. And most thankfully, above all else, God has reserved unto himself the role of being our Savior. Because he alone can accomplish that. He alone has the power over sin and death. He loves each of us so much that if we were the only sinner in the world, I am still convinced God would send his only Son into this world to die and to rise for us. That God still would sacrifice his only Son, who alone had the power over sin and death, who alone lived a righteous life, and then even when the world had killed him, had the power to rise from the dead, we might have the hope of eternal life. God alone has the power over life itself. God also determines what our place is in that And Elijah, when he approaches God and he asks him that he might die, was forgetting what his place was. Elijah was called by God to be his prophet, his spokesman. And God had done mighty things through him. The prelude, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 19 is the confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. You remember that Bible story. Elijah soaks his altar with water and gives the prophets of Baal the opportunity to call on their God to, if you will, light up their offering for the whole day. The prophets of Baal accomplished nothing, but after a short prayer, God comes down with fire and consumes the entire offering of Elijah, showing to all that he is the one and the true God. And the people rise up and they kill all the prophets of Baal. But then Jezebel swears she's going to kill Elijah, and Elijah begins to flee for his life. And that's where we encountered him in our Old Testament lesson for today, running away and coming to the mountain of God and just wishing he could die. What's the point of going on? What am I going to accomplish? Listen to the full complaint of his. I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek to take it, my life away. He thinks he's the only one. But did he have the ability to look into human hearts? No. Did he know what the future would bring? No. Did God ever say to him, "Okay, Elijah, your mission work on earth is now complete"? No. What was Elijah's job, according to God, at that point? Wait for instruction. God wanted him to do something, he would tell him. And that's why when Elijah gets to the mountain of the Lord, if you will, the Lord is not sympathetic with him. He asks him to go and stand out on the mountain, and a huge wind comes up and rocks are being splintered by the wind. Imagine what that wind must have been like. And I'm sure Elijah was thinking to himself, yeah, that's right. No point in this world going on anymore. God, just level the whole place and take me home. The Lord wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, and I'll bet it was a dandy. Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and I bet it was an all-consuming fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire either. You see, there were 7,000 people in Israel that Elijah didn't know about. There was still a promise of Savior to come. The Lord's work wasn't over. And until the Lord wanted to call Elijah home, Elijah's work wasn't over. And so, as depressed, if you will, as Elijah is, God's question to him as he stands on the mountain, though it does come in a gentle whisper, is, Elijah, what are you doing here? I'm not done with you yet. I've got work for you to do. There's 7,000 people in Israel. Still need you. I'll tell you the where's, the when's, and the why's, and the wherefore. But it's not your place to make these decisions. When you live, when you die, that's my job. But right now, go back. We need to remember our place in our relationship with God. And in so many ways, the world has a tendency to forget what its true place is. To think life and death are something that belong in our hands and not in God's. But in so many other ways, on a daily basis, we lose our place. We start worrying about things that God has not given us to be concerned about. Because we're so consumed with things that we ought not to be consumed with, the things that God really wants us focusing on in our lives, we don't give the attention that we should be giving to them. Elijah was depressed when he went to the mountain of God because he had forgotten his place in God's work. May God help us not to lose that place. Each and every day, to leave in the hands of God the things that belong to God. To concern ourselves only with the things that God wants us to be concerned about. Sometimes, like I learned in that lumber yard a long time ago, sometimes God just asks us to sit and wait for instruction. And that, if that's what he seems to be telling you to do right now, relax and enjoy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.